This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A new study is beginning in the Kalamazoo area to see if genetic data can improve the prescribing of opioid-based drugs for chronic pain. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is providing money. We are joined by Dr. Anna Langerveld. She is founder and CEO of Gene Markers, and Heidi Oberlin, Director of Integrated Health Services with Kalamazoo Community Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Explain how the study will work. Heidi.
We are going to recruit 400 people to get a cheek swab. I mean, that's very basically what's going to happen. And these 400 people are going to fall into one of four categories. They are either going to be dealing with chronic pain issues or substance use disorder, an opioid use disorder. And they are going to currently be in treatment for the dependence on opioids. And it will either be successful or not successful, the treatment to address the opioid use disorder. So then we're going to be looking, or Anna's lab is going to be looking at genetic differences among these four groups to see if there's a genetic difference.
To see if there is some sort of a pattern where we might find that there's something genetic that leads people to be addicted to opioids?
And to be better treated for the substance use disorder, too. So a lot of people have heard of personalized medicine, maybe. This is a kind of personalized medicine, very personal, getting down to your genetic material and how that influences how your body metabolizes the medication. Some people can take opioids and it addresses the acute pain and they have no problem discontinuing it. And other people, it's a trigger for some reason for in their body because of the way their brain works or their individual chemistry, and they have a really, really hard time stopping it and just crave more.
Anna?
We're actually in the lab, we're actually performing two different types of tests on each one of the people that are recruited into the study. The first is what we call a pharmacogenomic test. And in this, for this particular test panel, we're looking at genetic differences that help that are related to how someone metabolizes or responds to a medication. So for the chronic pain patients, what we're looking for is, can we use this test to improve the outcome or the treatment for their chronic pain? Are they taking the right medication, and can we modify that based on, you know, their particular genetic profile? And then, you know, on the addiction side, for the patients who are receiving medication-assisted treatment for opioid use disorder, if they're either taking Suboxone or Naltrexone, those the two medications that are currently most often prescribed for opioid use disorder, can we modify or can we optimize that treatment based on their genetic profile? So that's the first test that we're running on each one of these patients. And then the second one is more of a unique panel that we have put together for this study to identify or to validate the use of genetic markers that are associated with the addiction risk. So moving forward, one of the goals of this study and future studies is to be able to have an addiction risk panel that we can use to help in initial opioid prescribing. And that will help not just in initial opioid prescribing, but also in treatment of patients or individuals who have a substance use disorder.
So there's a couple, I suppose, different things where this could play out. One is that if you know there's a certain genetic marker that's in front of you as the person prescribing drugs, you might say, well, this particular drug may work better. And you might also say that this person is at somewhat higher risk of being addicted. Are those the kind
Correct.
Of maybe the two main things that you're
Absolutely.
Looking at?
Those are the two main objectives of this study.
To go back for a moment about the effectiveness, I suppose all of us have had that conversation with somebody where we say, well, gee, ibuprofen works fine for me. And someone else says, oh, no, ibuprofen never works for me. I've got to take something else. Is this something that is fairly common? And is this maybe you're trying to pinpoint it a little better than just that sort of, you know, chit chat that we might have back and forth?
Right. And that's the objective of this, of pharmacogenomic testing in general, is to be able to use this test and reduce some of that trial and error that goes on with prescribing and treatment, you know, a range of, you know, different disorders, not just pain.
Heidi, did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say it's trial and error right now. It's, you know, people prescribe based on, you know, best practices, what works for most people. There are algorithms for prescribing, but it's not the best for everybody because of their individual physiology.
As we sit here and talk right now, and this study is just kind of getting started, not really off the ground yet, what do we know about the relationship between our genetics and our propensity to be addicted?
So right now what we know is up to 50% or even more of addiction can be related to genetics.
And we're hoping to build that out. I mean, we're hoping to build out the body of research, I guess.
We're hoping to build out the body of research, yes, and develop something that can be used in the clinic.
What could the results of this, when they come back, and we don't know what the results are going to be, but what could this mean for healthcare professionals? Anna?
This will ideally provide an additional tool that healthcare providers can use in optimizing treatment for specific patients.
And are there also possible implications for public policy?
Well, I would hope so. Public policy could be, you know, the state health department, essentially, you know, Department of Health and
Human Services.
Human Services, yes. Kind of a changing name year to year sometimes, is paying for this. So as the funder, they're very interested in the policy implications, whether it means that this test is covered through Medicaid. You know, that's a possibility where it is covered with authorizations now. But it might just become more mainstream to get this kind of test done to help prevent more costly care and problems down the road.
How long will it take to conduct the study?
We've got through September 30th to get a lot of people consented and enrolled into the study because it's based on the state's fiscal year. And there's quite a bit of data collection going on. Another partner in this is Ferris State University. So they're going to be crunching all the numbers and looking at the statistical significance of the results.
And the College of Pharmacy at Ferris State University is well known throughout the state for it having a reputation for turning out a lot of people who work in this sort of field, right?
Absolutely.
Is that an aggressive timeline? I mean, just sitting here talking right now, that seems, end of September seems pretty quick to get 400 people together and do what you're trying to do here. I say that as someone who's not a scientist. It just sounds like it to me.
It's a very aggressive timeline, and it played out that way because of the funding cycle. So because it's funded from the Department of Health and Human Services and, you know, falls within a fiscal year, we're under a tight timeline to recruit and analyze all the data. We're about almost a month into the study now, and we're on target to have about almost 100 patients already enrolled. So, you know, we're on target to achieve the results.
Yeah, we're being very aggressive and did a lot of work ahead of time, strategically choosing partners in the community who had a lot of patients who were dealing with chronic pain and or opioid use disorder.
Right. One of those partners is the Family Health Center, and they've been extremely helpful in allowing us to set up at their facility, and they've been very helpful in identifying patients.
Are there people out there that are very willing to participate because they want to know this answer themselves? You know, perhaps people who have been suffering chronic pain have maybe found themselves addicted to opioids, that are interested, maybe a little more willing to step forward for medical research than, you know, the average person might be when they hear there's a study.
Absolutely. I think, you know, from what we hear from the recruiters, that there is a little bit of hesitation up front about about participating in a genetic study. But once the study and the objectives are explained, they're really actually very excited about seeing their report and participating in this work and most often about understanding the outcomes and improving their treatment.
And there's really no way to get around that there's a lot of stigma with opioid use disorder or people who have pain issues that have been addressed through taking opioids. And people just want to know why it's a struggle for them. And I think they're willing to participate for that because I'm sure they have people in their circle who think it's some moral failing on their part that they can't just stop taking the opioid or it's just hard. So people do get engaged in that part of it for that reason. They just want to know.
That's also one of the objectives of the study is that ultimately we feel that if we can identify or help these patients understand that there is a strong genetic component to their addiction, that it will help, help manage the expectations for the treatment, but also mitigate some of the stigma.
In other words, if you can get out to the public, hey, there is a real genetic link here, it makes it sound like less of a choice or something like that. Someone might think it is that you're simply, you don't have the will to be free from addiction. If you can show a genetic link, then that makes a scientific case easier.
Absolutely.
When do you think you'll be able to share results?
I don't know. I guess it's dependent upon when Ferris State can get everything together. We have to. I'm trying to think because I'm the person who puts the results, has to do the reporting to the state because the funding comes through us as the public entity in this partnership. So I'm kind of thinking by the end of this calendar year, we have to have everything wrapped up. Because I have, you know, so long after the end of each quarter.
How much is this still an evolving field of study? I mean, if we were putting it on the timeline between, you know, 0 and 100, where would we be on that in terms of the, where we are in terms of learning about opioids and the, you know, genetic links?
I think in some cases, for some of the genes, the information is well established, but really translating that into clinical practice is where we're pretty far behind. So this study is ahead of the curve there, or you know at the front of the curve in trying to translate some of that information into clinical practice.
There was a study done by researchers at Yale, Boston University, and Penn. It showed a link between a genetic variation and opioid dependency. Do you think that this study is maybe kind of picking up where that one leaves off in some ways? Or is it building upon it?
I would say it's building upon it. And what we've done is, you know, for the addiction risk panel that we've put together, we've put together a panel of mutations or variations, like you referred to, that have been established across multiple studies, not just that Yale study. And we're trying to translate that into clinical practice.
Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Anna Langerveld is founder and CEO of Gene Markers. Heidi Oberlin is director of integrated health services with Kalamazoo Community Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.